Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight, I have author Tamara Charles. I hope I'm saying that right. Tamara Charles. She has a book out, a best-selling book called Unbroken, and she's going to join us and talk to us about domestic violence. Also, one of my friends, Terrence Smith, he's going to join us. He received a proclamation from the city of Atlanta for all of his efforts and work around the community in the city of Atlanta. He is the president of Feed the Homeless, which is an organization, a nonprofit organization, which is run by Kelvin Harris. So we have two very special guests in the studio tonight. I'm so excited to talk to them. I see my lines lighting up a bit. I'm going to give everybody a chance to call in and click on this link and listen to what we got going on. We have a great show. So hang in with me for a second. We're going to get right back to it with author Tamara Charles.
We are tip the Henny for the day, baby. Bad man, we not stray, baby. Oops, I done fell for your way, baby. I know, girl, but Even though, girl, I know that I would fall for you. You got to know that everyone falls.
Tiffany, and I am back. I have two special guests in the studio tonight. I have author Tamara Charles, and I have Terrence Smith joining me tonight. So let's get this thing started. Author Tamara Charles has a book. It's called Unbroken, and it's a really great book about domestic violence. I want to find out more information about what she is talking about in the details of this book. So I want to see if Ms. Charles is on with us. Tamara, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Good evening.
Hi, how are you tonight?
I'm great. And you?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for joining me tonight.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, definitely, definitely. You know, I've been seeing you're working on promotions and promoting the book and marketing yourself. I've been seeing that, and it looks so intriguing. It's called Unbroken. Can you tell us a little bit about the book and the full title? Is that the full title, Unbroken?
It's called Unbroken, Still I Smile.
Wow.
Yeah. Throughout, you know, everything that I've been through, I was unbroken and still I smile.
Mm-hmm.
It's a journey, a story, and a testimony of my survivorship. Me going through three domestic violence relationship and being sexual assaulted at the age of 6 years old and now living with multiple sclerosis. Yes.
Wow. And I just want to make sure I'm
Mm-hmm.
And I do apologize. I want to make sure I'm saying your name right. Is it Tamara?
Tamara.
Okay, Tamara.
Yes.
So that was going to be my first question, actually. What was your motivation for writing the book? But you already told me it was because of personal experience?
Yes. Yeah.
My gosh.
I had, it was about 3.5 years ago, almost 4 years, it'll be 4 years. It turned 4 years where 4 years ago, I almost, my last abuser almost took my life. He almost strangled me to death.
Oh,
and
no.
2 months after that, I was blind. I woke up blind in my right eye. I lost the right vision to my right eye where I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. So it'll be 4 years. This year on my birthday where it'll be 4 years away since I've been diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. So it was since then I had asked, you know, myself and God, I said, you know, God, like I'm blind, I'm still young. Please just give me a second chance and, you know, at life to make it better, to change my life around. And I remember being in a hospital for about almost 2 weeks and putting a pillow over my head and just screaming because I didn't want the nurses and the doctors to come in and hear me screaming, but I would just cry every night asking God to give me a second chance with my eyesight.
Mm-hmm.
And I made a promise to him once I got my eyesight back that I would never look back, you know, and from there, I didn't get my eyesight back immediately, but in due time, you know, I was able to get my eyesight back. And once I was able to regain my eyesight back, and I just never looked back, and I felt like I needed to do something to help other women overcome what, you know, what I have gone through. And I left Boston, which is my hometown. I just left Boston, picked up my, you know, just me and my kids' clothes, and I remember getting a pickup truck. We just drove to Atlanta, and I never looked back. And I knew I had a mission here. I knew I wanted to do something to help other women who were, you know, in silence, who couldn't, you know, come out and talk about what they had gone through or what they were going through. And I decided that I needed to, you know, make peace within myself. I needed that closure.
Right.
And I decided to write a book, and I was so ready to write that book. And I wrote the book within a month. It was published within,
kidding me, Tamara?
Yeah, within
a
month.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Within a month, yeah.
Wow.
So
your testimony is so powerful, you know, everything that you went through. So you're saying that even at that point in time when that last abusive relationship was ending, you knew that you wanted to write, put it in writing then and there to help other people?
Yeah. I knew.
Oh, my God.
I knew
wow.
I knew while I was in a relationship, I knew it was wrong for me to be in a relationship, but it was like a mother to that abuser more than a girlfriend, and I didn't, and, you know, him numerous times trying to take his life by taking, you know, taking my pills to, you know, swallow, and I felt like if I would have left, he would probably kill himself, and I would have been responsible, but I had to look at myself first. I had to, you know what I'm saying? I had to, you know, look out for me. I'm sitting here in this hospital, you know, blinded, you know? So I felt as though, like, I couldn't, I'm not here to protect you anymore, you know? I had to protect myself.
Because
I had enough. I was at my breaking point, and I didn't have no energy. I couldn't fight no more. It was, I was like, God, just give me a second chance, like, at life, because I'm like, I don't want to, you know, be in a wheelchair or walking with a cane. I'm still young, you know, so I had to put myself first, and I was
Tamir,
able to
get that second
chance.
That is great. That's awesome. How old are you, Tamir, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm 39.
And how old were you?
I'm 39.
39. And how old were you when that happened?
Well, with the last, I've been through domestic violence throughout my whole life. So it was, I was accustomed to it. So the last incident, I was 35 going on 36. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Now Tamir, I have a couple of questions for you because you mentioned that you do have children and,
yes, I do.
Right. And you did mention that you were abused as a child. Now, and I'm not any professional or anything like that, but I'm sure that you would know. Is that why you succumbed to the abusive relationships? Because, like you said, you were accustomed to it already.
I was accustomed to it. Like I said, I was sexual assaulted at 6 years old. My parents were in the U.S., you know, trying to make ends meet so they can send for us for me and my sisters to come to United States from Haiti. And a friend of the family, you know, was sexual assaulting me for about a year. And,
oh, my God.
When I came to the U.S., like, you know, my parents, they were strict, but I felt as though I was always rebellious. I was always like, you know, I didn't want to listen. I had this anger inside of me because I felt as though they wasn't there to protect me. Now I'm here.
Right.
They're trying to protect me. And I was like, "What? You know, where were you guys at when they were, when I was going through what I was going through?"
Right.
So I was that child, that daughter who was going through, you know, who didn't want to listen. I was just furious. There was a time I wanted to take my life. And,
So when did you finally speak out? I know that happened when you were 6 years of age, but when did you finally speak out and let someone know, you know, what actually happened to you?
I spoke out, when I wrote my book. That's when everything came out.
Oh my God, Tamir, you didn't tell anyone until you were an adult?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yes.
I'm getting chills right now. Wow.
Yeah.
So what was the feedback? What was the reaction? And is that quote unquote friend of the family still around?
Well, it happened in Haiti. So I still didn't tell my parents who it was. You know, I haven't told them who it was.
God.
You know, they know about my book, but I haven't told them who it was. I don't know if the person is still alive or what's going on with that person, but all I know is that it happened, and I had to let it out because
you had to let it, for your own sake.
For my own sake, it was just taking my life. I wasn't happy within myself, and going through, you know, multiple domestic violence relationship. Like I say, I got accustomed to it. You know, even with my parents, they love. I'm not saying they don't love me. They never love me, but they do. But in my culture, in the Haitian community, in the Haitian culture, parents don't say "I love you" to their children. You know, they show other ways that they love you, but they never said "I love you." So with me experiencing that sexual assault and looking for somebody, for my parents to hold me and say, "You know what? I'm sorry for what happened to you." I never got that. You know,
non-existent.
I look for love. Yeah, I look for love at all the wrong places. So I ended up experiencing not one, not two, but three. And he took the last one to say, you know what, I had enough. My body just got tired. You know, God said, okay, if mass is not going to wake you up to start dealing with this, you know, with these relationships, I don't know what else is going to, you know, I don't know what else is going to wake you up. So I took it as a lesson learned, you know.
Exactly.
I said, you know what, I'm going to turn the negative into positivity, and that's what I've been doing ever since.
And that's what you have to do in order to help yourself heal. And like you said, you're helping so many other people just by writing it down and having it out there. It might give someone else the courage to speak out and speak up about what they're going through, you know.
Yes.
So I applaud you on that. Let me ask you, Tamara, at what age were you when the first abusive relationship, when you got into that first abusive relationship, was it an immediate, you know, abuse, and was it all physical, or were each of the relationships different? Was it physical, mental, verbal, or what
it
type
was
of
all
abuse?
Of the above.
Was it?
I started when I was 15 years old. I was in high school when my first abuser had put his hand on me, where he, you know, he pushed me, and I've experienced it where I was 4 months pregnant when my twin, where my kid's father had dragged me from a third floor at his parents' house and dragged me all the way from outside, where he was kicking me, and I almost lost my, at the time I didn't know I was having twins. It took them a long time to hear the baby's heartbeat. They couldn't hear the baby's heartbeat.
Oh my God.
And I just prayed. I remember the doctor was so concerned, and they put, you know, gave me IV, and they called an ultrasound tech specialist to come, and it was like an hour and a half later, and they were able to hear not one heartbeat, but two heartbeats.
Oh my God!
But even
that,
it still didn't stop me from not going through with a second domestic. You know, so I was just like, my God.
Right. Let me before you advance onto that, let me ask you this. After that episode, and I know I need to read your book, because I know all these questions are answered in the book, and I do apologize that I need to get my hands on a copy of your book. But when you had that first episode in that first abusive relationship with your was that the end of that relationship, or did you say, oh, well, you know, he didn't mean it, or he apologized, or let's try to work things out? What happened with that?
I stayed, you know. I was pregnant, like, you know, in my culture, like I said, you know, my Asian community, they don't believe, okay, you're having a kid and you're not with the kid's father. So I stayed thinking that I can work things out, but it just, you know, escalate. He was over possessive, controlling, and he, you know, it was just like he didn't want me to hang with certain friends, you know. I hung with a lot. I hung with American people, so he was like, "Oh, you hate, you know, verbally, you know, emotionally, you saying, oh, you don't hang with your own kind. You hang with, you know, with Black Americans." And, you know, so it took me to find out that, you know, but I was never in love with him. It was because there was a group my girlfriend, who was, you know, involved with his friends. So it was just like, I didn't have love for him, but I knew it was wrong, but I was like, you know what, I just did it because I wanted to fit in the group, but
doing that
didn't get me nowhere. I love my children, I would die for my children, but at the end of the day, it didn't get me nowhere, you know? So
exactly.
I tell a lot of women, don't be in a relationship just to be one, to be one because your friends are, you know, in one.
Right.
Be one because it's real to you, you know, this is what you want.
Exactly.
And, you know, like,
Wow. Now, Tamara, what is your hope for anyone that reads your book now, whether they're not in a relationship yet or if they are in an abusive relationship? What is your hope for someone that picks up Unbroken, Still I Smile?
Well, Unbroken, Still I Smile, like I said, it's a survivorship that will inspire all women who are going through or who are experiencing what I was able to survive. It just gives you a whole aspect, you know, of life. Like, you know, you don't take life for granted, you know. You don't need a man to say, I love you. And that was my thing. Like, growing up, I didn't get that from my parents. This is why with my children, I tell my kids all the time, I love you, you know, because I don't want my daughters or my, you know, even my son to put their hands on any woman. And I don't want my daughters to grow up thinking like they have to look for love, you know what I'm saying, from a man, you know.
Right, and
you,
thinking that's, so, yeah.
It's, and it's okay. You have to love yourself first. And no man can love you the way that you love yourself. And I learned that. And I've experienced all that. And I was able to write it in my book and, like I said, put it into a positive, you know, aspect.
Exactly.
And my book's been doing so well.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was saying my book's been doing so well. A lot of women, you know, reach out through my inbox. They call me. They they cry with me because they tell me how much they going through the same thing or they have gone through the same thing. And these are women I've never came across. And I'm just happy I'm able to inspire other women, you know, to overcome, you know, whatever they're going through. And in life, you know what I'm saying, you love you. Love yourself first, you know, before anybody.
Exactly. Now, Tamara, let me ask you this. I've never been in an abusive relationship, but how do you recover from something like that? I know everyone is different, and it sounds like you are a very strong woman, very strong-willed woman. But what do you suggest as if someone is going through that? How do you recover from all that pain, emotional, physical abuse?
I had to learn how to forgive. I had to forgive my abusers, because if I didn't, I wouldn't be able to continue to move on with my, you know what I'm saying, with my life or with you know what I'm saying,
right,
to find myself again. And but most importantly, I had to learn to put God first. I'm so spiritual now. Whatever I do, I talk to God. I put God first because at the end of the day, He's the one that has my back. He's the one that's gonna, you know what I'm saying, nurture that pain that I've been that I've been holding on inside of me. And I just tell women, you know, just let go. Like, you know, let you know what I'm saying? You have to heal. You can't continue another relationship if you're still hurting from the pain that you've been holding on. It's never gonna work.
That's so funny. That sounds like a post. I just posted up something the other day. I said, let go of sour emotions and bad vibes, because that's only going to hold you down. But I know you know, it's easier said than done. I know that for a fact, you know.
Yeah.
Wow.
But this, you know how they say, like, you know, a woman is fed up when she's fed up. When you're fed up, you'll know this is not for you anymore. You know, you will never go back.
Right. And it took you until what age to be really fed up, Tamara?
It took me, like, I was 35, 20, 36. But But I look at myself now, and I could never go through what I've been through. Because right now I'm happy. I love myself.
Right.
And I'm, you know, I know about self-love. I know what it's like to love myself. Because I look at myself in the mirror every day, and I say I love the woman that I am today, that I've, you know, become.
Right.
And it's a good feeling to know that my book made a difference within, you know what I'm saying, within my life. So.
Right. Oh, my gosh. Your story is so inspiring, Tamara. I can't wait to get a copy of your book. Tell me, how can someone get a copy of your book, and what events or what book signings can someone, you know, see you at and get a copy of your book?
Well, I'm putting some I have my nonprofit organization called Sisters in Charge Incorporation. It's a nonprofit for better women with children. And I'm also filming a documentary based on Broken Still I Smile. So that would be aired on, actually, the DVD will come out on my birthday, September 18th. We're shooting for
it. Oh,
I
love it. That's great. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Wow.
And,
wow.
People can get my book at Amazon.com, Kindle, eBooks. And if they can reach me, they can reach me at email me at sistersincharge1@gmail.com and my website is sistersincharge.org.
Okay, great. Sounds great, Tamara. Well, I just really love talking to you. I'm an author myself, and so it's just so inspiring. I know, like, with my book, it's a motivational book, and some of your story, I won't go into detail now, is similar. I wasn't in an abusive relationship, but when you said you had to pack up and get your kids and drive, trust me, we have to talk. It gave me chills just to hear you talk about what you went through and to see all of your accomplishments now. That in itself is just inspiring to another woman. So I am looking forward to reading your book and talking to you further. I would love to talk to you more. I do have another guest coming on, Mr. Terrence Smith, the president of Feed the Hungry. So if you want to hang around, I'm just going to talk to Terrence a little bit, but I'd love to have you join our conversation in a few minutes if you're available to hang around.
Okay, I'd love that. Okay. All right, so we will be back in a few. I'm going to and also if we have any call, I will tell you, my lines are lit up, Tamara. So if you have any if anybody wants to talk to Tamara or ask her a question, just press number one. That's equivalent to raising your hand, and I will get you, and you'll be able to talk to Miss Tamara Charles. Unbroken still, I smile. Okay, if you hang on for me, Tamara, I will get back to you, and you will join us with Mr. Terrence Smith. Well, I'd love to talk to you both. We'll be right back, everybody. Hang in there. Racing Ties Live, Conversations with a Black Man is up next.
Get done at work, come over. We just need to slow the motion. Don't get out of the way to no one. Long distance, I need you. When I see potential, I just gotta see it through. If you had a twin, I would still choose you. I don't wanna rush into it if it's too soon. But I know you need to get done if you come over. Sorry if I'm way less friendly. I got niggas tryna end me, oh, yeah. I spilled all my emotions tonight, I'm sorry. Rolling. How many more shots until you're rolling? We just need a face-to-face. You could pick the time and the place. You'll spend some time away. Now you need to forward and give me all the work.
It sent me up in work. It sent me down my da. Something about that, when you walk out. care for my dirt.
Back on Racing Ties Live. Thank you so much for joining me tonight. I have my other special guest is Terrence Smith. He is the president of this, and he's on. Terrence, are you on the line? Okay, I want to make sure I got Terrence on here. Let's see here. And I just want to make sure I have Terrence on there. Terrence, can you hear me? Okay, Terrence, can you hear me now? I want to make sure that everyone gets a chance to hear Terrence speak. He received a proclamation from the city of Atlanta this past week for all of his efforts with the homeless. He has been doing so much in the city. Terrence, are you there? Can you hear me? Terrence, can you hear me? And I'm going to see if we can get Terrence back on. I want everyone to be able to hear what Terrence has to say. I'm going to give him a second to come right back on. Oh, you are there.
Yes, I am.
Hey, Terrence, how are you?
Hey, how you doing?
Look, I was about to start jamming again. I was about to, you know, up here dancing and stuff, waiting for you to call back. How's it going,
right,
Terrence?
Oh, not too bad. How you doing, Racine?
That's great. It's so good to hear your voice. I was just letting everyone know that you received a proclamation from the city of Atlanta. That was on the 19th, right?
Yes, it was. It was
oh, my God.
Monday.
And I'm so upset that I missed it. I actually had
to.
I was on my way to Florida, and you know what? If I wasn't in Florida, I would have been right there, your biggest cheerleader. So tell me, Terrence.
Spirit.
Oh, yes, definitely. I want to know, tell everyone, you know, I know some of the work that you've been doing, but tell everyone what you received on the 19th and why you received that proclamation from Michael Bond, the councilman.
Well, first of all, I'd like to commend that young lady with her book, and I wish her much success. And I want to talk to her after we get done.
Oh, yeah, definitely. She's going to join the conversation. Yes.
Yeah, I got some things that I could put in place for her. But anyway, Michael Bond, the city of Atlanta, presented me with a proclamation for the homelessness stuff I do. I was homeless once in my life, and I was doing homelessness, helping homeless while I was homeless. And that is one of my big projects that I love to work on, homelessness. So that's why I've been doing it over 25 years or longer.
My goodness.
And no one ever knew what I did as far as the homelessness go, giving back. And I just, you know, continue to do work in the streets.
Right. And it finally, all that work you did finally caught up with you because people take notice, don't they?
Yes, they do.
And that's a good thing.
I didn't want accolades for doing something that you're supposed to do.
Exactly.
And all my accolades was coming from God, and that's all I cared about. I didn't care about if I took pictures and take pictures and film it. I didn't want to do none of that. So I just wanted the accolades from God, and then I just talked to my mother and prayed about it. And she said, if you can help one person, just let them know that you're going to get a proclamation.
Right.
So I did.
Wow, Terrence, that is that's awesome. Kudos to you.
Yeah.
So tell everyone some of the things that you have been doing around the city. I know that the first time I met you is when we were out at the Homeless for One Night. But you, like
Sleeping
you
out.
Said, you've been doing, a night in the shoes, walking a mile in the shoes of a homeless person. But tell us some of the things that you've been doing over the years specifically to help people in need.
Well, besides feeding the homeless, a friend of mine, he owns a hotel. It's one of the Hampton Inns. It's a big hotel, the Hampton Inn. And I asked him to save, you know, sheets that they cannot use.
Right. And I want to make sure that we still have Terrence. The last thing I heard is that you said you asked him to save some sheets.
Yeah, and the tiles and soaps and things of that nature. So I go pick them up, then I take them to the women's shelter down on 10th Street. So and I give clothes to different foundations that call me and say they need this and they need that, and I do that, you know, collect stuff for them.
Right. Wow, that's wonderful. And how did that idea come to mind, Terrence?
What's that? Giving them
of collecting the sheets and the towels. Mm-hmm.
Well, since my friend can't own the hotel, and I know that they cannot use certain sheets that have spots or...
Oh, that's right. That's right.
They can't reuse those sheets if they don't come out. So instead of them throwing them away or whatever, I just told them to hold them for me, and I just go collect them, and I end up with a big van full of sheets.
Wow. Wow. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I that's so smart. I applaud you on that. Wow. And let's back up a little bit, Terrence, because you said that you were once homeless yourself. And I was homeless for a brief period of time. And I know, you know, my situation, everyone's situation is different. So tell us what happened in your situation. How long ago was it? And, you know, how did you overcome it? How long ago
was it
that you found yourself homeless?
Well, it was back in the 80s. It was in the 80s. I came here in 1983 to Atlanta.
Okay.
And it was something like 87, 88, something like that. And it's because of day trading, if you know what day trading is. I used to day trade with the stocks and stuff like that. And, you know, I became homeless. So,
Know,
and that's what it was.
Was it an immediate thing, or was it because, like, I know with me, it was like an instant thing. It was over a period of time.
Yeah. I lost a lot of money, and then I lost house, cars, and everything. And, you know, I didn't have nowhere to go. And my friend had a club. So I stayed in back of his club. I opened up the club for him, and it was a small club. And I opened up the club. And when I close it and everybody left, I go back in the back and I go to sleep.
Wow. Now I want to make sure everybody understands, Terrence, because, you know, some people cannot fathom or just, you know, when you say it was over a period of time, can you give everyone like a little bit more detail about how it was like eventual or how it evolved into you being homeless? Because some people just say, oh, that's not possible. Or, you know, but, you know, long story short, I was working overtime. I was a supervisor at a retail location making overtime every week, and I still became homeless. So can you explain how it was eventually that it happened to you?
Well, the first thing you got to understand about homelessness, everybody's one paycheck away from being homeless. You know what I'm saying? You lose your job, you lose your money, you're a multimillionaire, and your house note is $10,000 to $20,000, $30,000.
You
become homeless also. You know, so everybody is one paycheck away from being homeless. And it just happened. One time I just lost all my money, and I couldn't pay my bills. And that's what happened. You know, you have to understand that everybody's one paycheck from being homeless, and everybody's not homeless for the same reason. It's some mental homelessness.
Exactly.
You know, it's some homelessness because some people want to fall off the grid that's out there and don't want to pay bills and don't want to live amongst people that's doing what they're supposed to do.
Right.
And it's different
levels
of homelessness.
Right. Exactly, Terrence. And the point that I was trying to emphasize is the fact that you had a home, you had, you know, cars,
and everything,
yeah.
and you were professional. So it's not
yeah.
just, you know, people want, are so quick to judge and, you know, say what their opinion is, but it's all levels of all levels of people and all levels
mm-hmm.
of homelessness. So, it,
mm-hmm.
you know, you can't be so quick to judge. But you,
right.
being the strong man that you are, you overcame that, and
mm-hmm.
almost just like Tamara, you knew that you wanted to help people in your recovery.
Mm-hmm.
So back then, when you were going through that, was that something that you decided in your mind, or did it just was it just something that you just naturally did after you got back on your feet?
Well,
or you said you were doing that when you were.
Right, when
helping
I was
when
homeless,
you were homeless.
Right.
Wow.
Because when I was homeless, they used to come to the club, a couple of homeless people
mm-hmm.
used to come to the club and say they was hungry. So I could go back in the kitchen and cook something to eat and
oh, my
feed
goodness.
Them, you know, and say, God bless you, give them, you know, the shoes that
mm-hmm.
I had or whatnot.
Wow.
But I just didn't have a home, you know what I'm saying?
Wow.
And I
right.
continued to work because I've always been in the music business. So I continued
exactly.
to work. It was just a thing that I couldn't find a place, couldn't get a place, couldn't afford a place. And,
right.
you know, it was just, it progressed
mm-hmm.
over time. And through God,
right.
everything is possible, you know?
Exactly, exactly. Now, let's fast forward some years. Now you're the president of the Feed the Homeless for Kelvin K. Chill Harris nonprofit
yes.
organization. Yes, definitely. Can you tell
mm-hmm.
us, you know, a little bit about what that? Or, I mean, I know what the organization does, but
right,
can
right.
you tell us a little bit about what that organization does?
Well, we do a lot of different things. We did. I didn't put people to work. You know,
mm-hmm.
I got jobs for some homeless people,
mm-hmm.
clothes holding people, feed homeless people. We're doing
mm-hmm.
a book bag drive to needy children for back to school. That's
okay.
going to be August the 12th. August the 12th at the
right.
Sparkle Skating Rink. My friend,
okay,
he's
great.
The general manager and owner of the Sparkle Skating Rink in Smyrna.
Okay, cool.
So we're
mm-hmm.
doing that, and I'm trying to, you know, take 100 kids shopping to get
mm-hmm.
them an outfit for the first
mm-hmm.
day of their school. So, you know, so
right.
they can feel good about themselves going to school.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
So, and tell us, how did Councilman Michael Bond become aware, and how did that come about that you received the proclamation, which is awesome?
Well, I talked to Michael Bond a lot because
mm-hmm.
I'm in the music business, and
mm-hmm.
we was at the they have a festival every summer, Kiss 104.
Mm-hmm.
They have a flashback. So
okay,
last year,
right, right.
Lakeside was on flashback, and, you know, I worked with them. And Michael
okay.
Bond was there. And he, you know, he approached me and said, hey, I know you, and I heard and such, and it led from there.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. So he, like I said, it just, word got around. You everything that you do, people take notice, especially when you're doing
mm-hmm.
good for the community. That doesn't
mm-hmm.
go unnoticed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow, that
yeah.
is wonderful, Terrence.
Continue.
Now, I know. I see you stay busy. Now, just to switch gears, gears just a little bit. Can you tell us a little bit about what you do in the music industry side of things?
Oh. Where I start, I do artist management, I do road
mm-hmm.
management, and also I then picked up, I'm going to start getting into the movies and film side now.
Uh-huh.
A friend
okay.
of mine, he's a producer for Greenleaf, and he
okay.
does a lot of big movies. So I'm going to be doing
mm-hmm.
some casting calls for his projects, and also we're going to be doing like sitting down talking to actors and actresses
okay.
and let them know how they can get into the business. And, you know, he's going to hold extra spots for people who want to
mm-hmm.
get into the business and let them come on and be extras and stuff. And
hey,
that sounds,
hey, look, maybe I should lose a few pounds, hit the gym, and try to come out and audition for
something. Oh, you know, you got your spot.
Terrence.
Come on out.
That sounds wonderful. That sounds wonderful. Mm-hmm. Every time I see you, you're going here, you're going there, you're doing something, and that's, you know, I always say I'm not happy unless I stay busy doing something. So
that's
it's
right.
Wonderful to see you doing something, you're staying busy, but you're helping so many other people in the process.
Right.
You know,
I'm in Chattanooga as we speak.
Oh, my God. See, that's what I'm talking about. That is wonderful, Terrence. Now, I wanted to have Ms. Charles join us. Before she joins us, can you give everyone your contact information, how they can, find out more about what you're doing with the homeless organization or with your the music industry side of things?
Well, you can reach me. You can email me at Smith. Music, spelled M-U-Z as in zebra, I-C, number 2 at Gmail. And also you can go on feedthehungryusa.org, and, you know, you can contact me that way.
And I do apologize. I've been saying feed the homeless. It's feed the hungry. So Feed the Hungry USA. I don't know where my mind is at.
That's hungry.
Because
it is a feed the homeless. Because I used to work for that organization. That was Hosea Williams, and that's how I got started.
Right.
I used to help Hosea back in the day, and I used to feed the hungry and used to bring barbers out and talent to come and sing. But my goal is I want to do a concert for the homeless people because they don't get to go to the Fox Theater. They don't get to go to
a concert. Right.
Yeah, so I want to do a concert for them. And they're going to tear down Pine Street. You know they're tearing that down.
Yes. Very, very soon, right? ASAP.
Yeah. Yeah, it's supposed to be in August. It's starting at demolition.
Oh,
yeah.
My God. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That is something
so
else.
Gonna be some more
I don't know what's
going to
happen. Yeah, I was just going to say, I don't know what's going to happen with that. That's going to be crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
So let me go ahead and bring Ms. Charles back on. Like I did say, I do have people that are listening in. If you would like to ask either Tamara Charles or Terrence Smith a question, push number 1 and we will get to you. And let's see if I can get it. Ms. Charles, are you still there? Let's see. I'm going to try it one more time. Ms. Charles, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, great. Now, are you guys ready for a question? I have a caller that wants to. I'm not
How
sure
you doing,
who
Ms.
they
Charles?
Want to. I'm
Hello?
Not sure. Tamara?
Yes, I'm here.
Yes. Hi. Terrence is on the line as well. Are you guys ready
How
for
you
your
doing,
first
Tamara?
Caller?
I'm good, Terrence.
Yes, we
How are.
Are
you?
Fine.
Okay,
fine.
Great. I'm not sure who they want to talk to, but we do have a caller, and let's see what they want to talk about. Hi, caller. You are on Racing Ties Live. Thank you so much for joining us. Do you have a question or an opinion, or who did you want to speak with?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yes.
Hi, this is P. Chanda DuBose. I didn't really have a question. I just wanted to call.
Hey,
P.
Chanda, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
And so thank you so much for calling in.
You're welcome. You're welcome. I wanted to commend you on your great work on this platform. I've been enjoying the show so much since I tuned in. You know, about 30 minutes now I've been listening. I wanted to commend the young lady on her work for her book. I, too, am a survivor of domestic violence. So anytime a woman is being transparent and sharing her story like that, it warrants a lot of support. So I, along with parents as well, I'm willing to support her efforts in any way that I can.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. Thank you so much, Pichanda.
Peaches got she got a play coming up, musical called The Lift.
Definitely. Tell us about your play, Ferguson, Pichanda. Because listen, Pichanda, you're gonna be my next guest. You don't even know it yet. tell us about Ferguson very briefly, but I do want to have you on.
Okay. Well, before I get into that, because I really didn't call to promote anything I'm doing, I wanted to call and also I wanted to acknowledge the young lady. I can't recall her name.
Definitely.
But,
Tamara Charles.
I just want to, Tamara, I wanted to congratulate you, first of all, and I wanted to commend you on your efforts and just keep being a sounding board for those women who are afraid to speak out. And I just encourage you to keep telling your story because it's making a difference. It really is.
Definitely.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I appreciate that.
Now, you're welcome.
Pichanda, I appreciate that. And, you know, right before you do tell us about your play, I didn't know that. I know that you experienced some other things, but I didn't realize that you were a victim of domestic abuse as well. How long ago was that?
Well, I've been divorced now for, it's been about 17 years. So I
survived
4 years of domestic violence. It was from my ex-husband, and I survived 4 years of it. So it's a cause that I'm passionate about as well.
Wow, my goodness. But you, and then to see, like, same as Tamara, to see your accomplishments now, you are so strong-willed and strong-minded that, you know, you would have never guessed you went through, you know, that trial. But that was your testimony, and now it's so inspiring to other people.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. So, sis, keep doing what you're doing. It's really important. Please keep being a sounding board for those women and men who are suffering.
I definitely will. Mm-hmm.
Thank you
so much for your support.
You're welcome. I wanted to call and also support my homeboy, my best friend, my agent, Mr. Terrence Smith. A lot of people doesn't know, but he's my personal agent as a writer.
Wonderful.
I wanted to call
Terrence,
and support
Terrence
him.
See, Terrence is so busy, I don't even know what he's doing. Wow, that's great.
I wanted
just
to
like
call
I told my other co-host.
Him.
Yes, that's so wonderful.
I wanted to call and support this amazing man. Not only is he a phenomenal humanitarian, but he's a wonderful person outside of business. He is just a wonderful human being, the type of person you don't meet today. So, you know, when I heard he was going to be on the show, I had to call in and support him. It caught my attention because the post came down on my feed. So I wanted to just call in support of him as well. He's a phenomenal
person. Yes,
he also represents me as a writer. So
yes, I do.
Wonderful. Well, look, Terrence, I don't know if I should talk to you or talk to her about having her on the show next. But we're going to get her on here.
She's there.
Exactly. Well, can you at least give us either a website or just contact information so they can find out more information about Ferguson?
Okay, Ferguson, that tour has passed. We're going on our next leg sometime late summer. My current production is The List. The list is coming up July the 8th in Atlanta.
Okay.
But you can find information about the list at ticketbud.com. That's ticketbud, like Bud Light, .com. And then the search bar, you can put in the list.
Okay. All right. Sounds great. Yeah. Thank you so much, Pichanda, for calling in.
No problem. I'm enjoying the show.
Okay.
Y'all have a wonderful night.
Yes, you too, and I'll be in touch.
Okay. I look forward to it.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Thanks for calling.
Bye. Wow, that was so sweet of her to call in. Tamara, I imagine that you get a lot of feedback like that.
I do, and I'm very appreciative of everyone who's been supportive and who's been rocking with me throughout my whole movement. And it's been nothing but love in that, and this is all God's work. This is His purpose for me, and I'm just going to continue, you know, to walk in His purpose.
Well, Tamara, I'm ready to walk with you too now.
Okay, we can walk together.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
I got a little pool in the city. I got a little pool in Atlanta. I got a little
Terrence, every little bit helps.
I got a little tiny little something.
Right. Exactly. So before we end out, can we get your contact information again, Tamara, how someone can reach you in regards to your book, Unbroken, Still I Smile?
Unbroken, Still I Smile is on Amazon.com. It's on ebooks, Kindle, and my website is sistersincharge.org.
Okay.
They can email me at sistersincharge1@gmail.com.
And if they want to reach me, they can reach me at 678-789-1952.
Thank you so much for
that.
Yeah. I'm on social media, Instagram, Facebook. Yeah.
Right. Okay, and Terrence Smith, can you give us your contact information? How, if someone wants to get involved with the activities you're doing with the homeless?
You can reach me at Smith Music, spelled M-U-Z-I-C, number 2@gmail.
Okay.
And you can call me at 404-749-0520.
Okay,
so, Tamara,
wonderful.
Do you want that number down?
I'll get it from Mr. Kelvin.
From Kelvin, right.
Oh, KT?
And I was so ecstatic. I'm so happy that, I don't want to overspeak, but I was so ecstatic that you are friends, or probably a little bit more than friends, with my I call him family, Kelvin K. Chill Harris.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just so happy funny thing is my world is getting smaller and smaller. I do a lot of networking.
Of course.
But everybody that I know seems to know each other, and that's just wonderful because
right.
I'm trying my best to surround myself with people who are positive, forward-thinking, and you guys are just that. You guys are
that's
in all
of thing.
So I really
that's
appreciate
a good
it.
Thing.
So I really
well,
appreciate
I mean,
you guys. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because
I really appreciate you guys on tonight.
Right. Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Yes, and, definitely.
And
so
I'm
I will
taking,
talk to you.
You know, young lady, I'm taking to sort of be taking a Kiss 104, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Sounds good to me. I'll be listening to that too.
All right, I'll have him call you. We'll talk.
Yeah.
Sounds
definitely.
Good.
Thank
sounds
you so
good.
Much.
Thank you guys
thank
so much
you
for joining
so
me
much
tonight.
For
have a
me.
Great night.
All right.
All right you too. Thank you so
me.
Much.
All right.
Have a good
thank
night.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Bye bye.
I want to thank everyone for joining me tonight on Racing Ties Live. I had such a wonderful show. I was so ecstatic to hear about Miss Tamara Charles' book, Unbroken Still I Smile. Terrence Smith, he's doing all kinds of things in the city. You need to keep up with both of them. They are just, like I said, forward thinking. They're busy. They're staying busy, but they're doing everything positive. Check me out myself. I have a book called Success Looks Good on Me. It's a soulful book with a little bit of motivation, a little bit of spoken word. So you can find that on BarnesandNoble.com and Amazon.com. Again, that's called Success Looks Good on Me. You can check out my other shows. I have a show with co-host Eric Seitz. Yes, the famous Eric Seitz, the Grammy Award-winning producer and drummer. I'm so ecstatic. We have a show called Racing Ties and Eric Seitz on motivation, where our one intent is to motivate and inspire you. So check me out on there. And I want to thank Maxine Jones, former founding member of InVogue, for actually giving me this platform to talk to all of you, to share my opinion and my views. Check me out on Money 101, where we try to give a little bit of financial advice. So just hang with me. Check me out and follow me, Racing Ties, Instagram, and Facebook. Up next.